Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about Colossians 4. Masters, supply your slaves with what is right and fair, since you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, as you pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may declare it clearly as I should. Act wisely toward outsiders, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant of the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about us, and that he may encourage your hearts. With him I am sending Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you about everything here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have already received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, so that you may stand mature and fully assured in the full will of God. For I testify about him that he goes to great pains for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas send you greetings. Greet the brothers in Laodicea, as well as Nympha and the church that meets at her house. After this letter has been read among you, make sure that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. This greeting is in my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. This is God's Word. This chapter began by continuing to describe how being raised with Christ and setting our minds on things above changes our daily lives. Those things, being raised with Christ and setting our minds on things above, were introduced in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and then the rest of chapter 3 details what that means, and now it goes here into chapter 4. After applying this truth to masters in chapter 4, verse 1, the scripture turned our attention to our prayer lives in verses 3 and 4, and how we share the gospel in verses 5 through 6. The rest of the chapter was concluding personal remarks, that's verses 7 through 18, that closed the book. For our instruction today, let's focus on verses 5 and 6, and here's how they read again in the NIV. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And again, that's verses 5 and 6 in the NIV. These verses speak to us about how we speak with unbelievers. Verse 5 encouraged us to be wise. The word wise refers to skill. In the Old Testament, God called some men who were wise in craftsmanship to create the furniture for the tabernacle. You can see Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 5 for that. Here, the wisdom we're commanded to have, the skill we're supposed to develop, is the soft skill of communication. Part of our faith, the result of being raised with Christ, means learning how to skillfully talk with unbelievers about Christ. Verse 5b encourages us to think about talking with unbelievers as an opportunity that we should make the most of. And the word opportunity and make the most of are quotes from the NIV. In addition to understanding the gospel message well enough to explain it clearly to someone else, we need to develop conversational skills so that we can speak of Christ in ways that draw in the interest of unbelievers. Think about how Jesus skillfully spoke with Nicodemus and the woman at the well and others about himself. Jesus did not use a canned speech for each of these people, a one-size-fits-all approach. No, instead, he engaged the other person at the level of their own interest. With Nicodemus, it was what it means to be born again. With the woman at the well, it was living water. But he engaged them at the level of their own interest and then led them to see that they needed him. What does this kind of evangelistic conversation look like? Verse 6 says, it is always full of grace. Grace, of course, is an undeserved gift. In evangelistic conversations, we want to get to God's grace to tell people what Christ can give them by faith. But I think Paul means more than filling our conversation with God's grace, though he certainly didn't mean less than that. But I think Paul means more, and I think he means that the tone of the conversation is giving, so that the unbeliever understands that we have something to offer him or her. We have hope and joy and peace to offer the unbeliever in Christ. We can show unbelievers how to truly know God. So the way that we speak to them should be inviting. It should be encouraging them to taste and see that the Lord is good, and to take refuge in him, to borrow a couple of phrases from Psalm 34, verse 8. Verse 6 here in Colossians 4 tells us that these conversations should be seasoned with salt. And again, the image is that our talk with unbelievers is stimulating and pleasant. It might be taking the salt image too far, but what if seasoned with salt means that our talks with unbelievers about Christ makes them thirsty, in a sense, so that they want to talk with us again about him in the future? Of course, we don't ignore the problem of sin in our conversation or give unbelievers reassurance that everything will be okay whether they believe in God or not. That's not what Paul's saying here at all. Instead, we must show them the possibility of a better life, the ability to know God in this life, to feel that he is listening to them, and an opportunity to understand why the world we live in is so beautiful, but also broken, and how the world that Christ promised us in the future will be the perfect one that we all deeply crave. What would you need to do to be able to speak the gospel to unbelievers in a way that's skillful, that's seasoned with salt and always with grace? Have you done anything to develop this skill? Read any books or taken a class to learn how to engage in a spiritual conversation like this? That is part of growing in grace, learning to speak gracefully to unbelievers about the grace of God. May God give us opportunities to hone our skills in evangelism and opportunities to practice these skills among unbelievers with hungry hearts. If you found this devotional helpful, consider going to my website, dailypbj.com/subscribe, to find out how to subscribe to them as an email that you receive every day, or as a podcast form in Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And the daily delivery of these will help you be in God's Word every day and develop a daily Bible reading habit. And if you'd like to support me financially, please go to dailypbj.com/support. Please share this with someone else, and I'll see you next time. May God bless you. Hope you have a great day today.